Here's Bruce James with Tommy, David, and Roger on 103.7 The Buzz.
I don't smoke.
Yeah, we got Big Bruce in here from the Gulf Coast, number 85. Things have calmed down there. RJ, you got that smile thing ready?
Yeah, I can get it real quick, Tommy.
Yeah, get that ready. When I saw that yesterday, I had to save it and play it back for my wife. It was such gold. And if I'm ESPN, I'm sending somebody to Fayetteville. Follow John Smith around. He'll give us a story today. I know he will. Because it was absolute bizarro world. And you guys are right. Twice, I think, he almost says, you act like it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
Let's roll that just one more time here. Is
everybody ready? Let's go.
Coach?
Is everybody ready? Let's go. You guys act like it's... Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up. Smile! Smile! Okay? Dang, you guys... All right? If not, I'm not talking.
Oh, mama. What a buffoon.
He's got me to the point I don't know what to say. And I was saying before the break that up until the last two or three days, I've almost felt sorry for him because people keep saying, he ought to stand up and take charge, he ought to stand up and take charge, and I was one of those guys. But if you're a player and you're down 52-0 and you got to be, you're looking at this guy like, don't tell me what to do. You may not be here the whole season. You're certainly not going to be here next year. And the coaches may even be doing that, going, this guy's nuts.
Well, it's. Let me just say this. There's some, from what I can gather, and I was up there for the Alabama game, and what I can gather, there is some very serious issues between players and coaches in discipline and. I still place the blame, 95% of the blame on players, personally.
About the game performance?
Well, and the defensive coordinator quietly is – he's got players that are not doing assignments. They're coaching one way. They're getting in the game, doing what they want to do. What do? You're trying to put your best football players on the field. If that's the best, you can only imagine what's backing them up. And, you know, so it's – It's a situation, and you really have to look at this, Tommy, in the sense that there's no model for it. There's no other school that you can look back and say this has happened to at this time. Usually when this happens, it happens after the season starts. In the middle of the season, a coach gets fired, and they promote one of the assistants up, and they limp on through. But this particular one, there's no model for it.
Well, the Tyler Wilson thing was the story of the day yesterday. Yeah. And I didn't hear Akery say it, but RJ said that he said it's no big story. I don't see what the big deal is. He shouldn't have done it, da-da-da-da-da. It was such a big deal, not a big deal. It was on everything yesterday, around the horn, PTI, Sports Nation.
And the main
Nation.
Point was?
The main point was, should he do that?
Should he have called out his player number two? Especially when he didn't play.
Desmond Howard said, I don't care if he played or not. He's the captain of the team, and if he sees shortcomings, he didn't call out any individuals. He said, I'm disappointed in our team.
But then the next point was, should he have done that to the team and not to the public? And he addressed that last night. In other words, if you want to say that, say it in the team meeting, not in the public.
But given the three-ring circuses that's going on up there, I don't see it as that big a deal. But, hey, great!
And that's what he was.
Did you say that?
We spent an hour and a half talking about it yesterday, so no, I didn't say it wasn't a big story.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh, no. It was the story yesterday.
How can the Southern Cal get upset, and this story supersedes that?
Well, here in the South, I'm sure
it's
it
really,
is.
You know, I was trying yesterday to determine if this – have I ever –
I apologize to Akery that I got false information.
With the exception of Tebow.
Or maybe I misunderstood RJ.
He did the thing. But that was all about himself. It wasn't about his teammate. This has never been done. That's why it's a big story. It's never been done in college football.
The whole dynamic has never been done.
Let me ask you, if he had not used the word, some of them quit. If he had not said that and said everything else besides, hey, I'm going to come back there, I'm going to keep this thing together.
Been acceptable.
That was the thing. When he said guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do, I saw some of them quit.
There's a key for the fan right there, okay? All these people that are blaming the coach First of all, forget about the head coach. He's a buffoon that was placed there and paid to do nothing more, to leave the coordinators alone. Forget about him. It's irrelevant. All he's going to do is do what he's doing. He's not supposed to be coaching. Those coordinators are. These players are supposed to be playing. Everybody wants to blame the coach. I didn't see a coach miss a tackle. I didn't see a coach fumble. I didn't see 42 run over any coaches. I don't get it with these fans that says, well, these coaches don't have these players ready to play. Who gets yourself ready to play? If you're a player, you play. What is this? You're telling me that Paul Haynes doesn't know anything about alignment? He has you in a goal line defense against Alabama, and you come running up in there, number 42, Eddie Lacy, doesn't break a sweat, and he runs over four people and scores. How's that coaching?
Yeah, that's definitely a talent issue, and we've talked about that too.
Before Wilson went down, Arkansas was outscoring its opponents 66-32.
Yep.
In the last five and a half quarters, opponents have scored 74-3. That's where I blame myself.
Well, yeah.
That's where I blame myself for buying the Kool-Aid last summer and believing that a team that barely won three games this year is going to vie for the national title. Because the Louisiana Monroe game is a perfect example of a game they won last year that they lost this year, a real close game. And they lost that game. Had they eked out the win over Louisiana Monroe, they'd be right where they were last year, same record, same everything.
They would have been exposed in the Alabama game.
But
I thought Nick Saban, and I read several different things that he said after that game over in Alabama, and he made the best reference to Arkansas that I've heard. Bobby Petrino's football teams
We talked about that yesterday.
They're one player, and it's the quarterback. And when I think about visiting with Kirby Smart, and he said, when you play Bobby Petrino, wherever he is, you go after the quarterback, you shut the quarterback, you get the quarterback out of the game, you win the football game. Think about this last year with this 10-2 team that they had last year. If he loses the quarterback last year,
same kind of deal.
We'd be in the same. I don't care. You'd be in the same situation because you can't rely on Arkansas's defense to win a football game. He doesn't care about defense. He doesn't recruit. He's one-dimensional. It's like throw the football. I was reading what Will Muschamp said. He said,
Did you see what he said?
He said those teams, he's talking about him running the football in Florida, winning the game.
They ran the ball 40-something times for 350 yards, and they've got a percentage they need to accomplish every game.
He said, show me a team that's throwing the ball 50 and 60 and 70 times, they're not going to win football games.
Usually, that's not the case.
You and I have talked at length, and the old folks always talk about defense, turnover to special teams. Go back and look at the first quarter of the tape. Another thing that I did hear Akre say, and I heard it said throughout the day, so I don't want to attribute this to him, although it may be a good argument, is that Tyler Wilson should have kept his mouth shut because he didn't play.
That's a good point. There's a good point. Let me just say that a lot of older Razorbacks than me thought it was uncalled for, wasn't necessary. Now, me personally.
But is there anybody going to call him in and say,
No. Well, first, this is my thought. This is just mine now, and I don't want all the people to say that this is just my opinion. He was told to do that. That came from above him.
You think so?
Yes, positively. I think that. Okay.
No.
He didn't. He had to get permission. He's had a concussion. He's flown to. You know, he isn't quite right yet because I know all about the concussion situation. He goes in and he asks permission. Supposedly asked permission through the media relations person to let him speak to the and go back out. That was not something – they knew what he was going to say because they asked him, well, what are you going to say? It's always done by coaches. I wouldn't doubt that it became higher up than the football coaches. I don't believe he went out there entirely on his own. I really do believe personally that it was probably suggested to him. Because, you know, when you played, you don't get to talk to the press –
Unique situation, because of what's going on. Although, did you hear what he said? Why he did it? He said, "Listen, I grew up an Arkansas kid." He said, "I know this." He said, "I know the Razorbacks mean a lot to people." And so, again, I think regardless of the motivation, I think if he just stays away from that one little phrase about my team quitting, I think he comes across saying, "I'm going to be back. I'm going to keep this thing organized. I'm the captain of the ship." But yeah, it's still. Something you don't see very often because usually head coaches are doing that.
You don't see it.
That's right. Although Tebow did it one time.
About himself.
About himself, yeah.
The officials are taking a beating in the NFL now. There have not been any games. But, boy, they have made some dumb calls, some really, really dumb calls. We got other stuff to talk about the Razorbacks today, though. Legends in the NFL that are alive today and playing. They said Peyton Manning was a legend, and they separated him from Breeze. Breeze is not a legend yet. And why Manning is a legend and Breeze isn't, I don't know. Maybe you can explain that to me. And three San Diego Chargers have had their jerseys retired. If you can tell me who those three are, you'll win a nice prize today. We're going to do a little Choose Your News, and we got Bruce. And just when you think it's over, Coach holds a press conference. Smile! Smile! We're back talking about Randy White, and I get home last night, and Karen had her whites mixed up, Randy and Danny.
Oh, yeah.
She got frustrated. No, it's not Randy White. It's the other white. Danny? She, of course, was once, when she first started following football, we were having a conversation one time, and the quarterback for the Jets was Richard Todd, who played for Alabama. And she goes, well, my favorite player is Lionel Todd. I said, Lionel Todd? Who the hell is Lionel Todd? All right, anybody want to take a guess on this question? If not, I'm going to throw it out there and we'll move on. What's up, Dave?
I don't know it. I think I saw that during the game the other night.
Yeah.
I saw two of them, and I'm hoping the third one's Dan Fouts, but then Junior Sale and Lance Allworth.
You got it.
Wow.
All right.
So, Kellen has. I thought Winslow might
be
on there.
Winslow, well, and they may at a future date.
When did they do Sale? Is it just recent?
Yeah, I think they did the other night.
Since the death?
Yeah,
I think it was Sunday.
Oh, okay.
You know, funny, after they showed last night.
Hang on a second. We're going to get you a prize, a Mooyah burger.
Speaking of Kellen Winslow, I went back last night. They were talking about who's the tight end for Atlanta that's been around the league for 16 years.
Gonzalez.
Yeah, I talked about he was one of the greatest tight ends in the game. He sort of revolutionized the position. So I went back and I Googled the top tight ends of all time. And, of course, Winslow's name's popped up there. And I thought maybe Keith Jackson might be in the top 10, but was not.
John Mackey.
Mackey was number one. Yeah,
Wasn't there an Eagle that was back in the day?
Keith Jackson,
well, that was, but it, yeah, they had Antonio Gates, Ben Coates, you know, obviously those are the recent guys, and then they had the guy from the Browns who was now the GM. I mean, the
Cowboys have had a couple of the last few years, yeah.
Yeah, matter of fact, and then the Todd Christensen, Dave Casper.
I don't like the Cowboys at all, and I like them even less as days go by.
Jeez.
But one got a cheap shot the other day.
Well, I saw that.
On the Sean field.
You know, he talked about that. Randy White said he didn't like it. I thought.
It was a cheap shot.
I mean, the way the rules are now. Wait. The way the rules are now, it's supposed to be. But I think back in the day, I'd say.
I saw another game called where they just barely pushed the guy out of bounds and they flagged him.
Well, that was the same game. They flagged the guy going out of the pushing out of bounds instead of that one.
And I apologize to all you people that don't like the Cowboys like me because I hate talking about them, too. Colin Coward say, the old Dennis Green line? They are what we thought they were. Yeah. They win this week, they lose next week. They win next week when they're not supposed to, then they'll lose to somebody else. And we can talk about that later. But there is some truth to that with the Cowboys. I don't get that. What's the matter?
No, it is.
It is.
I
would have thought they would have lost to the Giants and beat the
Seattle.
Yeah. I thought it would have ended up that way. Also, the upcoming games this week, we got a couple of minutes here and a couple of games. Let's get a couple of calls.
Who is Ron Mix? That was one of my fan feedback.
It was an offensive lineman for the Chargers.
Okay.
Yeah, you're on the air. I had a long night last night, Bruce. You're on the air, go. David, you know. Put your head back in the window.
Later, so that made them mad, and they took his jersey down off the Raptors. There actually has been four jerseys retired by the Chargers. One of them got defuncted.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Who was it that got their jersey taken down?
Go ahead.
Caller, who was it?
Hello, that was Ron Mix. In 1969, he retired. And then he came back into the league a couple years later for the Raiders, and the owner of that time for the Chargers was so upset by that he unretired his number.
Unretired his number.
Oh, took it down. Wow.
I didn't know you could do
that. There's actually been four numbers retired for the Chargers. Just one of them got pulled back.
Oh, very good.
We'll go on to James Bond theme songs. Can you name one? We'll get to that later.
Every time we come back to at the top of the hour, I'd like to hear Bruce's early line on coaching prospects. Ooh. Because the coaching,
by the way,
it has begun. You know, obviously, yeah, the search has begun in earnest, and of course we're in recruiting limbo. Oh, I mean, God. What you talking about? You got
a
staff.
Well, that's a story within itself, because we'll talk about that. But you don't need to be taking commitments right now.
Yesterday, Jimmy Dykes said on Bo's show that Jeff Long has a very, very impressive list of coaches as candidates. That's all he said.
What is he supposed to say? That he doesn't?
That would be the truth.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. Everybody can start with a list. Yeah, you put on there who you want to.
We put Lombardi and Brown on there.
I know,
that,
I know.
That mean they're coming.
Did you hear the names yesterday?
The McGee kid, he's out. Charlie Strong.
Did you see that? Nobody yesterday. I threw out to the. I said, "How many people here?
Yeah,
like to see Charlie Strong as the next coach?
Not many.
Five or six people. I mentioned Kirby Smart. Two or three.
We're
names.
Spoiled.
You
know what? Houston Nutt was. We got to where we didn't like him. Most people did, but he was kind of a rock star in coaching when he came in. Bobby Petrino became a rock star as a coach. And they don't. I'm talking about your typical fan. They want a rock star.
Well, the typical fan wants to see the ball slung around.
Right.
And they don't really care about winning 10-7. I want to win football.
You give me 250 yards on the ground every game, and I'll win.
I'm happy to.
Yeah, because it keeps it out of their hands. Hog dog.
Bruce Almighty.
I swear it's hog dog.
Bruce Almighty.
Oh, goodness.
Well, let me first say this. I've respected you guys. You and David and Tommy for a long time. Now, I've been agreeing with you all morning until you said where you didn't think Tyler Wilson probably shouldn't have said it because he didn't play. Let me tell you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I was echoing what Acre had said yesterday.
I didn't say that. I said something different than that. And first of all, the times are different. Whatever. In my era, a quarterback could not and would not and would not have been allowed to go out and say that.
Because in your era, they played with heart, guts, and nuts, and they played until their bones were broken. In this era, they're tippy-toeing around everything else and trying not to get, oh, I'm hurting this, I'm hurting that. Tyler actually should have stayed out. But what he said, what he did was pitch on.
Well,
My question is this, real quick, and I apologize, Bruce. My question is this. People are calling for coaches' heads. When can they start, or can they start taking scholarships?
That's
away?
A
if
good
they're not
point.
Going to play, I would. I, you know what? My 10-year-old son has more heart than what I saw on that field. With the exception of one person, and that's Tyler. He didn't get in, but he was still ticked off. He was still upset. He's the only man on that whole football team. The only man.
Well, I agree with you, and I said it last week, and I said it for a long, long time. You know, people were knocking Willie Robinson was here. I never saw anything wrong with Willie Robinson's ability to line the defense. He just had very poor talent. And now you bring in a defensive coordinator, and I believe in what he's done. I've looked at enough of his
Thanks.
Video, and the same thing is happening. It is the player.
But you know what, Bruce, though? You know what? I have to disagree with the caller's suit. You know what? All this stuff about quitters and no half hearts. How about can we not just admit – maybe they're just not good football players.
Exactly.
Does that mean that any player who gets their butt kicked, that means they have no heart? Maybe they're just not as good as the guy.
Well,
maybe we shouldn't have recruited them.
I go along with that statement. Let me just say this. I don't have a problem. Are we still on?
Yeah.
Okay. He has the right. Somebody signed off for him to doing that. I'm just saying I personally would not have handled it that way, but I'm not a quarterback anyway. So he has the right to do whatever he wants to do that the administration said he could do it. So he did it. So I think one thing it did show that he's not upset with the coaches. He's upset with the players.
We'll be back with more Bruce James and thoughts on this. And I got to get to the James Bond song because everybody's got a favorite. And when they started listing them off last night, did you see
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I guess
I was. There's four that were really big hits.
And you got to come up with a Rutgers question.
That's
I
right.
Do.
Yep. Arkansas
Remember
Federal Credit Union question.
I thought it was Auburn I was focused on.
No, you
on.
Got Rutgers and Auburn.
I'll get you some info.
Okay. Rutgers. I'll work on that in the break. I may have to smoke.
1037.
The Tracks of Fun. You know what this song's about, David?
Crazy.
Close. You know what it's about, Roger?
No, sir. Oh, really?
Riding on the rails of the crazy train.
Where was this song at when I was doing stuff?
It was playing. It was playing. It's 7:07. As always, we are fortunate enough to have Arkansas Federal Credit Union supply us with Bruce James for a couple hours. And Basil's come up with a Rutgers question. He's bailing me out today. The thing about the legends in the NFL, I want to touch on that briefly because I know everybody wants to talk about what I really and truly. You know, Basil will agree with this. I think Avery will agree with this. Rainwater, everybody. It's a lot easier as a radio show, talk show host when the Razorbacks lose than when they win.
You get more calls and more unhappy. It's more an active show.
You can
show.
Sit back and just, even my wife noticed that the last night. And you, but as the host, you get a day and a half or two into it, and not only do you get bored with it, you kind of feel guilty. Like, well, I can just let this go. Just let it go. And it would go all day long. But I wanted to talk about what compromises, because they were talking about Peyton Manning being one of the true legends that is still playing in the NFL. And if he's the legend among legends playing in the NFL right now, how come he is?
I think a couple of those things were the stats that they put out there.
I saw
which
that
was
last night, yeah.
One more 300-yard game, and he passes Marino, becomes number one.
But at the end of the day, what do they always say? You got to have
a ring.
You got to have a ring.
Yeah.
And he's got one.
He's got one.
Well, it's he's.
Is it his work ethic? Is it his attitude?
Knowledge? I think it's the Manning mystique. They are, I would say, the Manning family to football with the dad and all is to what the Kennedy family would be to politics.
So first family of football.
Family of football, and they handle themselves correctly, and they do a lot of civic things, and so all of it together, you know, the clean cut guy that has succeeded, he's exemplary, and so I think that's probably it. Now, you brought up a guy that I think is right there with him as far as what he's done civic and how he's come back from injuries and all that, and he's quarterback at New Orleans.
Drew Brees.
Yeah. I mean, there's a guy that Dr. Andrews spent about 11 hours putting his shoulder back together, and he's overcome that, and then he went in and did so many things and brought that city back after Katrina, and then won a Super Bowl. And
well, his little brother passed for 500 yards the other day and has two rings. But
well, okay, let me so you go. Manning is a Hall of Famer. Tom Brady is a Hall of Famer. Brees is a Hall of Famer. Roethlisberger, two rings, is a Hall of Famer. And who am I leaving out? There's
you know that mystique.
Eli Manning, two rings,
Manning
Hall of Famer.
It's the Manning mystique that I put way above Brady right now because of that mystique.
Brady's got three rings, though.
I know, but it's what Bruce just said, that mystique of the man.
Well, listen, the guy has he's got before all is said and done, he's going to rewrite the record books.
Yeah, there's just you're talking about that mystique. I'm telling you right now, the dad was
the least
best
quarterback of losing team.
No, he was all the New Orleans.
Was he better than his boys?
Yeah, in my opinion, yes. And I played against him. Now he Tommy will tell you he was 6'4", weighed 225 pounds. He ran a 4.4, and he was white Michael Vick of the 1960s.
Really,
You know what I remember most about him was when you guys played him. I believe in the Sugar Bowl, he still had a cast on, didn't he?
He had a little brace on, and he had broken that against the University of Houston.
But for a while,
he wore that for a long time, didn't he?
Cast up to there, yeah.
He absolutely, and I played against Jim Plunkett, who won a Super Bowl and was a great Raiders. Yeah, too. And I'll tell you right now, nobody, and from high school on, nobody was as good as Archie Manning. He got paid well to stay with the Saints.
Just think if he would have been with like the Steelers,
it
just goes to show you just wind up on the wrong team, and you're not. You know, it's unfortunate that some players get to be on great teams.
And then you throw in that all of them, father, mother, two sons, three sons actually, with Cooper, are just class people. Yeah.
Well, that's what Tom Jackson said last night. Because what's his name? Gruden calls people.
I love
his bus, and they have a little chit-chat. And he goes, if you notice, Peyton showed up in a suit. Not just a suit, but a crisp suit. His hair wasn't a hair out of place. That's just the image. That's everything is done meticulously.
Right.
Everything to a finite detail. And Gruden's like, when you get up there at the line of scrimmage and you're shouting.
What is all that stuff?
Did you hear him say that?
No.
That's exactly what I said. What is all that stuff anyhow? He goes, sometimes the players look at you like, what the hell are you talking about? And he said, that's just a part of the way I play the game. He goes, Damned if I know what you're doing, but you're doing it good. I love Gruden.
I did too. He gave him that hat.
You know what? He is the John Madden, John Madden of our era that makes it fun, puts it on a level where everybody to understand knows the game very well.
I hate to see him leave the booth for Arkansas next year. But anyhow, in today's paper in the style section, if you pick it up, there's a passing interest, and it's a story on the Razorback quarterbacks of days gone by. And tomorrow when I come in, we're going to rate each of these quarterbacks on a scale of 1 to 10.
That's okay? Matter of fact, we'll have Matt in studio, Matt Jones being one of them. Of course, Clint is the only one. That's my man wearing his sunglasses.
Yeah. Hollywood Sterner.
That is, but, you know, I made the point before, Bruce, when you're an Arkansas Razorback quarterback, you're the superstar for that moment.
Yeah.
I remember when Ryan Mallett was the superstar. Now it's Tyler Wilson.
I remember when Ryan Sorehand wasn't.
Well, maybe Ryan, you know, maybe that's true.
That's what they need is a superstar.
Barry Lunny was a superstar. You know, Matt Jones, Cal Cagney, you know, I don't know
all
if Casey.
Of them were.
Quinn Grovey. When you're
Bill
in that,
Montgomery.
Yeah, when you're in that position, you are the rock star. Well, you're the most high-profile position of the biggest franchise in the state.
Sure.
Bottom line, it's like the biggest company in this state. You're the head of it.
We have Bruce James in here. You have questions for him concerning the situation up on the Hill, and I've run out of questions and I've run out of answers on that thing.
Hey, there's two. I want to make mention real quick too. We need to get Bruce's input on some games. A couple of interesting games, but you know the biggest shocker I see on the line. FSU is a 14.5 point over Clemson.
That
surprises me.
Yeah, it is.
That's a lot of points.
They went on and on about how they're number one in every defensive category, and they've only given up like 2.5 points a game. They have not
played
anybody.
Right. Yeah.
And they're playing Clemson. Who do you like?
They're playing at home.
Yeah, they're at
Clemson is a powerhouse offensively. Clemson, I don't think, has played anybody of significance, have they?
Auburn.
Well,
that's still better than Savannah State.
There you go.
Yeah, I might take FSU to close one at home, but I'm not sure about that. I sure wouldn't bet on the deal.
I would go Florida State in a very close ball game, but only because of home field advantage.
South Carolina, Missouri are playing. The line is 10 in that one.
I'm sure RJ will pick these. These will be one of our Friday games. Yeah. All right, instead of saying who's going to win, who are you for in that game, FSU and Clemson? Because I can't.
I know. Listen, I grew up an hour and a half from that campus. I found myself rooting for him. Jimbo Fisher was a Bruin.
No, I used to root for him when Bowden was there, but I got to the point where I can't stand him anymore.
Yeah, well, I got a lot of homeboys from my area, from Moss Point, Pascagoula, and Biloxi played at Florida State.
Listen, they've got more hype the last 5 years than anybody.
Yeah, let's ask Tony Pepper. What do you think?
Well, it's 65 degrees outside right now. The wind's coming out of Canada right now.
What do you like? Who are you for, Florida State or Clemson?
I'll go Florida State.
Okay,
fan of that had a market.
Who are you rooting for? South Carolina, Missouri.
I'm gonna go South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Because we don't want Missouri.
Station.
We don't want them in A&M to do well.
No, they're gonna become our LSU.
I'm gonna tell y'all, and I told you before the season, South Carolina is gonna be left standing at the end of the season with maybe one loss. You guys, this quarterback is still playing with one bung shoulder, and I don't know who they
refused his meds after the game. Wouldn't take painkillers.
Yeah, and it's worse now. Didn't we hear that?
Yeah.
South Carolina's still undefeated in the top 10. And it'll be them in Georgia, obviously.
Has there been a coach that changed his MO, to go from this guy that had to throw it everywhere to winning football games because he's gutting it out with a running quarterback and a great tailback?
No, there's probably not.
Great coaches change with a team.
What about Michigan and Notre Dame?
That was my next question. They got to play at Notre Dame. Notre Dame 6-point favorite.
Notre Dame winning at Michigan State.
That was a big win for them.
That showed me something.
Yeah.
It's going to be Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's playing great defense.
They might be back for a change.
Listen, the typical thing if you watch the last few years is Notre Dame to lose this game. You think they're back? They're back, and all of a sudden they lay an egg.
They usually lose to Michigan State too.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, the team of if I had to pick a team of the week that impressed me the most, it would be Stanford.
Yeah, there's no.
They beat the crap out of them.
Smashed them in the mouth.
And you talk about a coach that gets no credit. They had Harbaugh out there, and they had Luck out there. They left. They didn't miss
a beat. Right. Yeah. Did you see the tight end for USC? What he said? Speaking about players speaking out. You just don't do this. And he goes, you know, we were overlooked this team. We weren't prepared. It's like,
how do you not be prepared for Stanford?
The coach is like, have you ever been called in? Have you ever been called in by a coach, Bruce, back in the day? Of course, the media was different back then when you were playing. Yeah. But I came out. We beat Baylor here in 1985, and I think we were 7-1 or something. I came out and said, "Wow, it's great to get a big win because you know recently we've seen the choke with the big games." Well, I got a note from Dean Weber. Hey, listen, Coach Hatfield, want you to see you in his office. Now, David, he said, "Let me just tell you something. I don't want you to use that word anymore. I don't want to see it." I said, "Yes, sir, Coach. I won't say choke anymore."
I got a phone call from Coach Brawls, and I was a sophomore, and I had a very good game, and I think I was defensive player of the week or something, and had some sacks. And he said, "Bruce, Orville is going to be calling you, and here's what you can say to Orville. And now you got to pray. Praise the Aggies. Praise the Aggies. We got to play them next year now. They had a bad game. That's all you just say. They had a bad game because we got to play them next year." And he always orchestrated what you could say. And he did.
I think the great coaches do. You don't think Saban has a title? He didn't let his assistants talk.
No.
We got to move on. But can you imagine what Frank's doing right now?
He's not happy.
He wishes he was in a grave so he could turn over in it.
Show with no name. You're on, Sterling. What's up?
Oh, nothing much, guys. You're right about David Shaw. He's doing an excellent job out there with Stanford. I didn't like the idea. I mean, like, with the switching the quarterbacks on every play, how long did it take? They're going to take for Mr. Saban to realize that Mitch is going to run the ball. You're going to be a running player. And Allen are going to throw the ball, and then you're going to run the option. Now, I ain't no football coach by no means, but ain't the option something you can't do on a part-time basis? Ain't the option something you need to be repetitive? I mean, you got to hit it like all the time with all the.
If you got to practice it, and you don't know how much they practice or didn't practice it. So I can tell you that. If he hadn't have played both quarterbacks, and I'm talking about Petrino now, and I'm not talking about our head coach because I don't think he had anything to do with it, but if he had not played both quarterbacks, the fan base would have been yelling and screaming that he went with the wrong guy.
Who is the right guy now?
A quarterback?
Yeah.
Without Wilson?
Yeah. If Wilson were to get hurt again, who would you choose?
I think you go with the future. You go if who's going to be your quarterback next year? If it's going to be Allen, go with him. If it's going to be Mitchell, go with him.
And we need a receiver, so you got to keep Mitchell out there.
But I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but let me just say this: he was trying to do anything against that defense and show them different looks and not be so predictable. And he knew they were going to tee off on the quarterback. That's their MO over there. So the option play was something that last year Georgia Southern played Alabama's great defense at Tuscaloosa. And put up over
21, didn't
they? 21 points and over 350 yards of rushing, running basically the wishbone and running the option play. And so I'm sure that they wanted to throw that in there for that reason. Now, on the other hand, you're on a wet field, and ball handling is difficult to do.
Now, you know that for the most part, everything in football is cyclical. Do you think you'll ever see a day, or is the past just so exciting and so sexy, but do you ever see a day that we get back to like 70s and 80s football where teams are running for 300 yards a game and they're the big winners?
I think history repeats itself. I mean, if you go back, I mean, these offenses today are based off the single wing and some of how they deep snap back and different things like that and turn around and throw the ball. And in the old Y.A. Tittle days out there when it was called the shotgun.
But look at Alabama. Look at Florida.
Here's the problem. It takes a lot more discipline to run the football than it does. And I'm talking about the old Oklahoma, the old Texas thing. It takes a lot of discipline holding your blocks, to do it. So, you know, high school, the problem is – and I've talked to coaches about this. You can't find an option quarterback in high school anymore because every high school runs a spread.
Did you see where Saban?
And I thought it was out there warming up like he was going to play.
That was just stupid. Did you see where Saban? I watched the telecast, and he says that his offensive linemen get mad when they call a pass play because they just want to mash.
That's
people.
Funny. Yeah.
He said that they just want to mash people. I
saw where his center, who's all everything.
They moved. He was a Lombardi. Award winner.
He hadn't played center.
He's going to win the Remington Award this year.
They moved him in there, and I saw where he said, you know, what I really like about this game is the mental part of it because it challenged me to go up there and set the blocking schemes for a lineman. And they said, well, which running back do you prefer? He said, I never know who.
Yeah,
I never look to see what running back's in the huddle. It's irrelevant to you.
Give me the smile quote again, if you could, RJ. And Sterling, I know that you've been a longtime defender. I'm ready to roll bow, and you're always ready. You're fired up. But after you heard this yesterday, and I'm assuming you heard it, hear it out, and then tell me what you thought.
Is everybody ready? Let's go. You guys act like it's... Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up. Smile. Smile. Okay? Dang, you guys, all right? If not, I'm not talking.
Okay, now, I drank a lot of the Kool-Aid over the summer, and I know you drank a lot of it. What do you think now?
I think, you know the old cartoon? Yeah. And the head turned into a donkey? That's how I feel.
What? What cartoon, Sterling? Into a donkey.
You know when they go to that little cloud, the little cloud when he's been suckered, the cartoon character been suckered, and he got his head turned into a donkey.
Yeah. Okay, I got you.
You went deep. You went deep, Sterling.
That's not very deep, though. I mean, that's like a couple cartoons and.
Sterling and I, and I'll admit, I heard Rex Nelson say it Sunday. 50% of the blame I put on me for buying into this. When we won three games so close last year that they could have gone either way, and now we're a perennial power, and we don't have any backup. We don't have any line. We don't have any defensive line. We don't have any defensive back. We got an offensive line that's questionable at best. We got these all-world running backs, but they can't do nothing because nobody will block for them. We got one proven receiver, and you look back at it that way, and all of a sudden it's like, boy, did I drink some Kool-Aid.
That's the thing about it is, I mean, you are what your record is. All that close game stuff.
Yeah,
that don't mean nothing to me. If they would have went the other way, we would have been 8-5. We just would have been, we would have been 8-5. We couldn't say, hey, we were almost 11-2.
But if we had beaten Louisiana Monroe, we'd be sitting in the same place we were last year, 2-1.
And that is amazing. That it would have been, we'd have been disappointed, but we'd have been 2-1.
Yeah.
And you still had a little hope, I think. But I just want. Do y'all think those guys quit? I heard the guy talk about his 10-year-old little son, but he might have a little heart. How much heart you gonna have when you get beat up? For 3 hours, how much heart you gonna have at the end of those?
Maybe it just turns into survival.
I hope the people that always says, Alabama lost this many starters last year. It's irrelevant with the kind of recruiting they do. They got players that can come in the offensive line next year when these guys are gone, and they absolutely do a great job in the redshirt program. And you got to remember the guy that's not starting, like two of those sacks. Against us came from true freshmen this year, the defensive ends at Bama that are third-teamers, basically, that got in that football game. And so, nobody will notice when they'll say, well, they lost this, and this, what's
behind
this guy.
Who's the coach we need to get to change right
away?
Well,
he's coaching at Florida, that I wanted Muschamp in the beginning.
Muschamp was in the mix.
And he absolutely is the best recruiter that we could have gotten. Now, he's gone. Let's forget it. That's past history. They're going to have to go with youth. And they're going to have to get something. And the reason I say with youth, you've got to have that energy. You can't take a guy that's already got $50 million in the bank, that's won somewhere, and he's just riding down the system to have one last, play. I want somebody new and young. But the main thing, if you can't get talent on campus, if you can't do it.
That's what Randy White said it yesterday.
Yeah.
He said, listen, the bottom line, I talk about what do you have to do to get great line play? He said, recruit some talent.
Yeah. Players rise above coaching. That has always been known. It's always true. And if you get a true football player, all you do is give him his assignment. Here's what you're to do, and he's got to go do it. He's got to beat the guy. Somebody's trying to keep him from doing his assignment, and you got to do the assignment. Who's going to win the battle? It gets nothing to do with coaching. It's all about what you do against that opponent.
You got anything else, Sterling?
That man's in Nashville, Tennessee. He's in a place where it's not great high school talent in the state of Tennessee. He also got a deal with the Big Orange Nation over there, and he's been having great recruiting classes. I know they're 1-2 right now, but James Franklin is the man they need to get.
I would not be against that at all because I have talked to the coaches in Mississippi and Alabama high school that are very, very impressed how he has sold a lot of great recruits, the idea of getting a great education at Vanderbilt and the fact that you get to play in the SEC, And he's a dynamic man. He's struggling right now, but anybody would at Vanderbilt. But I would not be against him being
Who's
the head coach.
Who's coaching Northwestern?
I don't know, but he beats
Tough,
people.
Fitzgerald used to be the linebacker for them as a player. Yeah, they're 3-0.
All right, Tiger Bait, what's up?
Tiger Bait! Hey, Bruce, you from Get Back got to mention that Tiger Bait is the Kennedys of the Tiger fans and the LSU Tigers. Tommy, let me tell you something. If I'd have been in that press conference yesterday, I would have stood up, I would have said, Coach, you're a joke, and I'd have walked out the door. I mean, he's talking to those people like they're kids. It's ridiculous. The guy took the $85,000 a month, and he doesn't care about anything. And the blame is 33% Jeff Long, 33% John L. Smith, landowner Smith, and the other 33% is Bo Mattingly. And if you're on a Jim, if you're on a Jim Cramer show, Tommy, you're a bye-bye-bye.
Bo was hammering
it's amazing to me that they're all on the Razorbacks going to win a national championship. Now they're all hammering the other way at this point. But let me ask you this: you supposedly know a lot about college football, especially LSU. How much of this is on the players? In my opinion, 90% of it's on the players.
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you something. The coach can tell you what to do. But the players have to execute. But Bruce, I'm beginning to realize the gigantic difference between LSU, Alabama, and Arkansas football. It is glaring. And Bo Mattingly, let me tell you something else. You used to sell your Kool-Aid on the end caps at Walmart. But let me tell you something. Right now, you're back in the section where the crushed toilet paper is. In the 70-yard category. Hey, it's ridiculous.
You remind me of another LSU person that does a little radio down there named Al Boudreau. Are you related to him?
Probably somewhere down the line.
Okay.
Hey, what happened to LSU yesterday? I see they had a bomb threat, and they had to clear the campus.
They did?
Yeah.
Miss practice.
They missed practice.
That's that Auburn guy that tried to poison those trees, that Alabama guy.
Hey, what happens to all these people who do these bomb threats? What do they get?
They hadn't caught him yet.
I don't think they catch him.
Well, a friend called the East Baton Rouge Parish police deputies and said that he didn't want to take a 12:30 exam. He wasn't prepared for it, so he called him a bomb threat.
But, I've tried that before. It's all right, can you name one James Bond theme song?
Diamonds Are Forever.
That's probably the most popular one.
There's a ton of them.
I believe this was one. I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, sure.
For Your Eyes Only?
Yes,
she
needs
it. For Your Eyes Only, yeah. I mean, there's, you got Carole King did one. You got
Carly Simon.
Hey, the great one is Shirley Bassey. The Diamonds Are Forever.
Shirley Bassey
did Goldfinger, didn't she?
I think Paul McCartney did all
Wings
right.
did one, yeah. But,
yeah, that was Live and Let Die. Yeah,
that to me is my favorite. It's a cool song.
That is good.
I need a helmet, and I'm going to suit up for this radio station. I got more knowledge than little Roger Scott at the back of my head.
You know what?
Tiger
Here's
Bait,
the deal,
you have
Tiger.
A good day.
When you said that you would stand up and say what you were going to say and then leave, that's because you're a coward. You wouldn't stay there and take it.
That guy, who does he think he is, John L. Smith? With debts of $10 to $50 million, talking to y'all's media like that. Go back, hey.
Goodbye.
You know what he needs to be, Tommy? Tommy, do you know where he needs to be?
Where?
He needs to be on a porch in North Carolina playing a duet with that guy from Deliverance, that banjo player. That's exactly where he needs to be.
Get out of here. Now, Sheena Easton used to be a little hottie, didn't she?
Oh, she did. That was a hot song. Remember, they always had the naked girls, the silhouettes of the naked girls on all the James Bond deals?
And they always had characters with names, too. There was somebody, Moneypenny, and then there was the most famous one, Pussy Galore.
I've got a list of all the ones. You know what? No, it's Shirley Bassey. Is it Bassey? Is that her name?
Did Goldfinger.
Yeah, she did more than one. She did two. She did also Moonraker.
Really?
Yeah, I've got the list of all of them.
Oh, just to sidetrack us for a minute, I thought we'd get off there. Anytime we get Tiger Bait, that's almost halftime anyhow. We'll be back to talk to Bruce about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their coach rushing, trying to strip the ball last play of the game. Back in a minute.
Only fire, you'll see what no one else can see.
Antique Brick Outdoor Studio.
Congratulations.
Dave,
wow.
Fight for me.
I saw that.
Wow. Did you see Roger just took it out there? Yeah, thank you.
I'm not going to be disrespectful to him.
Wow, look at that.
Wow. That's John L.
Your lights are on, Roger.
Oh, is that right? What, these things?
That is queer.
You are weird.
It's not. These are to help
he
you read
like
at night.
Looks like that manager from...
Those are look at me glasses.
Oh, you know what? Oh, these?
Yes.
Well, these are just to help me read. Right. You know what? If I may, could I say thank you to Steve and Kathleen Johnson for purchasing these for me?
You might as well. They give you a new job next door.
Look at this.
And you're already accepted. Congratulations.
I can read and go ghost hunting.
Well, you ain't reading on this show. We don't need you anymore if you're going to pull that crap. Go on down the hall with your little girlfriend down there.
Are you telling me to
take
get?
Take your extra $30,000 and get.
He had real pretty hairs. No, but you're welcome to use it tonight if you like when we see the hotel room.
I don't even.
You're gonna?
No, I'm not.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, now
the show with no name. Hello.
What's going on, Tommy?
Roger's trying to, you know, he's doing like Arkansas coaches are recruiting now. He's throwing all the shimp our way and lighting up the door down the hall.
What are you talking?
What's up?
Hey, is Bruce still around there?
Right here.
I'm here.
Hey, Bruce. All my in-laws, my name's Savage, but all my in-laws are from York and Ward, Alabama. You know, they call, want to know how does an institution implode over a couple weeks so fast and... What would be your, if you just had to just pick one thing that just sums it up as a whole, what's Arkansas's problem?
Well, it's not, you can't sum it up in one thing. It all started in April, quite honestly, and when that, I mean, that's who's to blame. That guy blew the whole program up, and there's no charted waters that you can take to... for this ship to sail that...
But we keep adding to the layers. That's what's amazing. Yeah, we keep adding
David
to the layers.
It up. We could write a book. Arkansas, the SEC years. You got Nolan. You got Houston.
Jack Crow.
You got Jack Crow. You got Reggie Harry. A couple of deaths along the way, unfortunately. You've got...
The Petrino hiring.
Yeah, the hiring of him is the thing. But let me just go back and say that, number one, I blame a lot of this on the press, and I'm not talking about these guys in here. But
well, you talk about me.
And the point is that the expectation of the fans... that this was going to be one of those great, great seasons. And we still would be very positive if Tyler Wilson had not gotten hurt and we lost to Monroe. We would have probably scored 17 points or so against Alabama. We would still lost the game. But we wouldn't be in the situation that everything is like now. So, basically, the injury to Tyler Wilson has blown it to where it is now. But on the other hand, I don't think you have players that are the quality of SEC players to win football games that everybody thought they had this year. They're drastically missing the middle linebacker and other linebackers and secondary that it takes to play defense in the SEC. So it's the perfect storm, you might say, that hit this football program.
I think most people on this show, except for Tony Pepper, said...
Hey, it's 65 degrees outside. It's windy.
Said they win 9 games. He went 11-0, 12-0, picked to beat Alabama, all kinds of crazy stuff. But... I think we just drank it.
Well, you know,
and when I said the 9-3, I can remember people calling, yeah, you're just negative, you're just negative. Well, I've been called that
for the last 14
but
years.
But, I think everybody, even nationally, just looked at this and thought there were no playmakers in the standard MO defense.
They did.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people in the ESPN, all of them did.
I think they looked at our offense and they didn't look at the defense.
And they presumed the defense would be average, exactly. And we were below average.
And we didn't even have the receivers
that
we did last year. Yeah. Hey, question for Bruce from Keithy Service, Kevin Life and Feedback. Kevin in Morrilton says, question, Bruce, did Willie Robinson not recruit a majority of these current defensive players? How is he not responsible? Why place it all at the feet of the players? If the talent is not there, it's not there.
Because the defensive coordinators at all schools, I mean, they don't get to go out and pick necessarily their people. This was all signed off by, like it is at every school, they decide who they're going after. The head coach signs on who that he wants. I mean, he has to say, this guy, yes, we'll give him a scholarship. He has the final word, the head coach does. And each coach is assigned a recruiting territory, and he's only responsible for the kids that are inside that territory. Might be an offensive player, might be a defensive player. So, unfortunately, it's a combination of all those coaches, and the head coach signed off on who they recruited.
Woody, what's up?
Yeah, hey, guys, I'll tell you another thing we're missing is heart. You know, I see a lot of – usually when the chips are down, you see how much heart you really have and how much you really want to be a Razorback, and I think we're seeing that now, along with the lack of talent. But, Tommy, just off the subject a little bit, I just got on the – in my truck, so I'm just now listening to radio. I want to know, did you watch the Broncos or Faith Hill last night?
Faith Hill wasn't on last night.
They did. They had the CMAs last night. I heard Carrie Underwood was looking good, too.
Music festival.
Woo! She looked good, Tommy, if you didn't see it.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Did
you see the beginning of Monday Night Football? They don't have any song.
No.
Yeah, they do.
They don't have any. You know what?
It was Charlie Daniels' band last night.
And they don't start at a particular time.
I turned over there when they started the game. I didn't see it.
Yeah, they did Charlie Daniels' band. Peyton went down to Georgia.
So they change it up
every week? They're doing it every week, depending on the location of where they're at.
Don't like that. Don't like it. Come on. You got rid of What's-His-Face. I understand that, but come up with something.
But the Charlie Daniels band was really good.
Faith Hill's dress on her intro is just about there. It's just about there. You got a question?
Yes. Name the rock.
Arkansas Federal Credit Union. Want to thank them. We're giving away $103.70 every week.
Thank you.
And so Mr. Basil has the question of day.
This is an easy one. Name the famous Rutgers alumni who used to roam the sideline in the last 7 or 8 years having a birthday today. Famous, well-known television TV star.
Who is it? Tell me, Faith Hill was on last night. You saw it, and you texted me.
I didn't see Faith Hill.
Oh, okay.
I knew that the CMAs were on.
Is he a TV star?
He was.
He was.
He was.
I didn't know that.
Big star. Won an Emmy, didn't he?
Probably so. A bunch of them.